Hello, this is Romecast 15. It's Father Dave Nix with Andromeda. Andromeda, how are you today?
I'm doing great.
Andromeda asked me not to ask her that anymore. I said, why not? She said, because you ask that every time. So I think I'm going to say it like that every time. Andromeda, how are you today?
All right, what do you got?
What do you got? What do you got for us today? We'll jump right in.
Okay, great, Father Nix. Good to hear from you too. And I love that question. But before
That's what you're getting every week, by the way.
Yeah. I wanted to give a little shout out. Father Nix said it was okay. It's the anniversary of my enrollment into the angelic.
I'm not the communist ruler of this podcast. You don't need my permission, and you know it.
I do need his permission, folks.
No. But I am excited to kind of promote because this is super important in campus ministry. So I'll give even a preface that I not only give permission, as if that were necessary, but I totally support what you're about to say because this is good stuff, especially, no, I was going to say for the youth, but everyone needs this. Yeah, so go ahead.
Yeah. So I enrolled at the prompting of my then spiritual director. When my godson was baptized, he baptized my godson, as a way to pray and do penance for my godson's perpetual purity with the intention that he would arrive at whatever vocation God had for him with his baptismal garment unstained. So a little quick history on the confraternity. After the death of Aquinas, the cord of purity which he had worn was preserved by Dominicans and available for veneration in Vercelli, I believe it was. It now resides in a Dominican church in the town of Chieri outside of Turin. Long before, though, the official confraternity was established, people began to visit the cord to pray for purity. Then they began bringing their own ropes and touching it to the relic, making it a third-class relic, I think, and wearing them as they were praying for in their own struggles for chastity. And a Father Duvaters, I think that's how you say his name, sorry if I'm botching it, Dominicans, he's considered the first to organize the devotion to the cord and establish the confraternity at Catholic University in Louvain, Belgium, in the middle of the 17th century. So this is pretty old. And as it began to grow, it was officially founded for the whole church in 1727 by Pope Benedict XII. And I really recommend it for everybody.
Now, you haven't even told us the name of it yet.
Yeah, it's called the Angelic Warfare Confraternity. So if you Google that, you can find out how to sign up for it. You can read about it. The history that I just gave you. The actual devotion is super simple. It's, you know, it consists of wearing, well, first of all, being officially enrolled, and they'll tell you how to do that, wearing the blessed cord or a medal that they give you, saying two daily prayers with 15 Aves, Hail Marys, in between those two prayers.
For purity.
And for purity, that's right. And you're praying this for the whole, all the members. Are praying for each other. That's what they're doing. And as Father Nix pointed out, there's probably no more important prayer intention that we can hold right now, given the attack on purity in our society. So it's beautiful. It's timely. I highly recommend it. Google Angelic Warfare Confraternity. So
It's great. And the two prayers is the first starts with chosen lily of innocence, pure St. Thomas who kept chaste the robe of baptism. It's like two more sentences.
Yeah.
And the other prayer is, dear Jesus, I know that every perfect gift and especially that of chastity depends on the power of your providence. And then it continues to ask him for that. So it's basically you either wear a medal on your scapula or you're already, you know, a cross around your neck, or you wear a cord around your waist that is a reminder of chastity for obvious reasons. And that has 15 knots on it for those 15 Hail Marys that you're going to say for yourself and everyone else enrolled in the Angelic Warfare Confraternity. And And then you strive your very best for chastity for your state in life. And you're exactly right that it's really excellent that all these people are praying for each other. And the East Coast Dominicans have done a really good job at getting a lot of people involved, a lot of people enrolled. I think you send them like 10 or 15 bucks. I don't even think they make much money on the whole thing, because they send you the whole pack with the prayer packet of St. Thomas Aquinas and the medal and the rope. So you can choose either both or either on that. And then I think it used to be only a Dominican, but I think – oh, here's what it is now. Any priest that the Dominicans give their approbation to can also enroll people. So I wrote the East Coast Dominicans when I was in campus ministry and said, can I enroll people? And they said, sure, you can. So I enrolled myself as well as students at Colorado State University in the Angelic Warfare Confraternity. So I think I'll be able to link this. The iTunes isn't Yeah, iTunes is not carrying the links, but the actual blog post will be able to hold this. But it's if you're just like driving and want to remember this, it's angelicwarfareconfraternity.org. And again, give your credit card, give 10 or 15 bucks to it. They'll send you the full packet. Find a priest who can enroll you. And if you don't know any priests who can enroll you, have them write an email to one of the East Coast Dominicans and say, can I please be one of the enrollers? And I don't think they're stingy in saying yes.
Oh, no. And get a few friends to join with you. That's what I did.
That's right.
So thank you for that, Father Nick.
Yeah, and it's actually a good segue into our topic today. So we actually have solutions instead of just like complaints about things at the church. I mean, we're starting with the solution this time, you know. A lot of times we have the opposite, but I'm glad you have that, because we're talking about a real attack on chastity and purity in the not only without the Catholic Church, but within the Catholic Church today. So everyone out there, just take good note that our initial part of today's is the solution, and then now we move on to a problem.
Yeah, and we might want to give a warning to parents and little ears again. So I might say something that you might want to, plug their ears for. So
well, and it's too bad we actually have to do this every week, because I think we'd rather be talking about salvation history or typology or something else. I mean, I didn't get ordained to talk about this stuff, but it's like we have to first make people feel like they're not crazy for being concerned, and secondly, come up with solutions. But if this attack comes in the church, we would be remiss in not blowing whistles on this stuff. So I hate the fact that we're about to talk about Father James Martin, a Jesuit. I'm Jesuit educated. I've had 12 years of Jesuit education. I like the Jesuits, even the liberal ones, but we're at the point where it's like, this guy has major advance in the church and we have to talk about this, which really stinks. So sorry to steal your time, but this is our topic. And I don't think either of us you didn't become Catholic to talk about this, and I didn't become a priest to talk about this, but we have to now, because what used to be lurking in the shadows in the early 2000s is now front and center.
The article then that I want to bring up today came up on Father James Martin's Twitter feed on July 5th, and he just reposted a LifeSite News article that the title of it said, "The first front in the fight against LGBT propaganda is inside the church." And Father James wrote as a comment, as he shared this with his followers, "Another in an endless stream of homophobic, hateful articles from LifeSite News, which attacks even gay straight alliances in schools. Ponder that. The author attacks the idea that LGBT youth might be loved and supported by straight friends in their schools." Which, if you read the article, if anybody actually clicks on that link in his audience, they'd see that his comment really doesn't fit with the content of the article.
I noticed that.
So I don't know if that's calumny, but it's certainly misleading. Mm. Aside from it being misleading, though, I wanted to address this often used kind of slanderous label of homophobia as it's applied to Catholics who teach or just hold this teaching of the church. Namely, the question, is it homophobic to hold that teaching on human sexuality as it specifically regards to homosex, or what the CDC labels as MSM or WSW, which is male on male or when female on female sexual activities. So I came across a really interesting answer to this question from a secular source, and I'm just going to go ahead and read it. Mm-hmm. So this is coming from the appellate courts in the UK ruling on the University of Sheffield case, where an academic was being accused by the University of Sheffield of homophobia.
Okay.
So he had to appeal because initially the first court case he did lose, and and he would have lost his position. In the appellate court, though, they issued the following. The university wrongly confused the expression of religious views with the notion of discrimination. The mere expression of a view on theological grounds, e.g., quote, homosexuality is a sin, does not connote in itself discrimination or discriminatory actions. Mm. So right there, we have a secular institution who is able to distinguish between actual discrimination and a moral evaluation of acts. And that's what we're coming down to. So the moral evaluation of acts, which is what the Catholic Church is doing when it's teaching on different morality, this in this case, homosexuality, is different than actually discriminating against any particular person or group of people.
So real quick, I'm kind of dull on law things. We like the conclusion they came to, the UK appellate.
That's right. It's a rational.
It's a rational, and it's the opposite of what Father James Martin says about.
It is the opposite.
Yeah, that is interesting. Well, that would be a landmark thing in the United Kingdom, because what's so amazing is here in the United States and in the United Kingdom, there's this idea that the gay movement is the next civil rights movement. So for them to say that this is actually a moral decision, not one of discrimination, that's really, really interesting. And it sort of follows the whole here in Colorado cake baker that I randomly met a few weeks ago, Jack Phillips, that he won these two things of, no, it's actually his right. And you know who hates this whole idea that civil rights is equal to the LGBT movement is black people. I mean, the media never covers this whole thing. But the African American community is really disgusted that sodomy is somehow put on the same level as them fighting for normal civil rights. But when I met with Joseph Chambre on the West Coast, we actually recorded in the Castro. That's like a very, very gay district, and he talked about his life. Maybe you scroll back 20 podcasts on this. And I did a podcast with him, and I just asked him like what it was like to leave his life as a gay porn star and as a he's an ex-gay porn star and he's an ex-gay prostitute and everything in between those things. And this is his public testimony that he did long before he met me. But we covered some ground that I had never heard him say. And we had two really, really, at least they were enlightening to me, podcasts that we also put up on Sensus Fidelium. I think we call it Leaving the Gay Lifestyle or something like that. And right in the Castro there, I said, you know, is there any chance that gay people are born gay? And he kind of laughed at me and said, no. And he explained that. And I thought, wow, this is really interesting that here this guy who, you know, lived most of his adult life as an active homosexual and now is a great redeemed Catholic who loves our Lord, loves our Lady, loves St. Joseph, hands out rosaries now at the Pride Parade, is probably the biggest, albeit small, compared to the support Father James Martin has in the media, but probably the biggest small thorn in the side of Father James Martin is a man who very clearly said to me, this is environmental. And this was, the wound in his life that he exacerbated through his own sin was environmental, not genetic. And the fact that we had someone who lived a very, very extreme gay lifestyle telling me that there's no chance you're born with this really blows out of the water this whole idea that it's another civil rights movement. Now, granted, we need to be extremely compassionate with those struggling with same-sex attraction, because I'm very convinced that a large part of that initial insult into their life is diabolical, and we would not want to just, you know, be a jerk to somebody who's possessed. I'm not, of course, making a commensurate. I'm not saying everybody who's gay is possessed by any means. But if we actually understand perversion to have a large overlap with diabolical involvement and a need for deliverance prayer, we would approach those people with compassion and love. And that's how Joseph Chambre, approaches people at the pride parades. But he never, ever gives any credence to the people who say that we should accept their lives. And here's why. Because he understands their lives are destructive because his life was destructive. And when people like Father James Martin come out and say, we're going to celebrate your life, Father Joseph Chambre looks at something like that and is like, I was drug out of San Francisco sick. And he doesn't mean figuratively drug. He was literally drug out of San Francisco. He was almost dead so badly from that lifestyle. So for people to celebrate that, he sees that not as like a political thing, like he's like a Democrat that became Republican and Father James Martin's like a Democrat. Like, no. Joseph Chambre almost died from the lifestyle that's being promoted by Father James Martin. There's life and death at stake here, earthly, and then you have eternal life and death at stake. So I understand why Joseph Chambre has so much love on the streets for the gays. Honestly, I don't even like some of his Facebook posts. He'll be like with drag queens smiling or something. He's not condoning their lifestyle because his t-shirt says Jesus loves gay men. He's trying to evangelize them. But I'm so grossed out by some of the people that are next to him. I'm like, man, Joseph's a friend. What's he putting up with this? But really what the message behind that is, he actually loves these people by telling them to leave the lifestyle where James Martin, who we never see at those parades. I mean, he tweets from his nice little place in Manhattan, is not out there telling them to repent and change their lives. So it's like, this isn't a political Democrat versus Republican thing. It's not even a liberal Catholic versus a conservative Catholic. We're talking about saving lives or flushing them down the drain. And Joseph Chambre loves these people. And when, you know, before and after, when him and I took the subway around San Francisco, he was smiling at people. He was talking to them. He wasn't like some grumpy ratrat who's condemned that lifestyle. Like, he was so happy to talk to anybody. And he was just a shining example of charity when we were even off the camera, just walking around San Francisco, talking to straight people, talking to gay people. But he would never tell them this lifestyle is going to lead to earthly life. And he would never tell them this lifestyle is going to lead to eternal life. And this is why he's the thorn in the side of Father James Martin. And I understand why he's so annoyed, because if we can't get the truth from within the church, oh man, we're in trouble.
Yeah, this is the reason why I hate that label being lobbed at anybody in the Catholic Church for holding this teaching. But personally, I know several, you know, people who struggle with same-sex attraction and are losing that battle, struggling, and they're my friends. You know, I don't look at them with any kind of disgust. When you see somebody in sin, it doesn't matter what kind of sin it is. It can be your friend's Catholic children who have fallen away from the faith. When I bring that to prayer, there's a real hole in my heart for these people who are really in danger of losing their eternal reward, which belongs to them by their birth. And
by their baptism, at least.
By their baptism.
Yeah.
Yes. And the Catholic Church's teaching is the thing that informs the human heart to know. It's like a pain receptor to know when somebody's in danger. It's the thing that gave me the compassion for the person, true love for the person, because I want that person's eternal happiness.
Yeah. And I think I would encourage any listeners out there to be able to delineate, like we're trying to do, not that we're the experts at it. I think Joseph Chambre is the expert at it, but here's what he's really good at delineating at, and what I'd encourage people to do. Just as Jesus was very harsh with the Pharisees and very compassionate with sinners, I would encourage any of our listeners to be very harsh with the LGBT movement in the political sphere and the media sphere and the ecclesial sphere with people like Father James Martin, and extremely compassionate in person, one-on-one, with those struggling with same-sex attraction, provided we're calling them gently and firmly to repentance, to the blood of Jesus that can be our only hope, any of our only hope at redemption and getting to heaven, we have to delineate between that. And of course, Jesus and Paul are great examples. Actually, anyone in the Bible, but Jesus is God. But we see that repeatedly, especially in the New Testament, how when we face the big political machine of the Pharisees, be that politics or, you know, hierarchs who are not teaching the truth, we should be fearless and with, you know, a face like flint moving to Jerusalem. But again, one-on-one, we have to be very gentle when we're dealing with same-sex attractive people. Because at the big level of the media and the politics, there is a whole movement to destroy society at that. But at the individual level, there's many people who are struggling with their own demons, both literal and figurative, in this world of same-sex attraction, who are truly seeking redemption. They get up, they run to Jesus, they fall. They get up, they run to Jesus, they fall. And there's no need to lump them into like this culture battle that we're having against some of these different lobby groups or whatever. So you don't feel like you're schizophrenic out there if you're able to delineate between how we attack the big political machine that is pro-LGBT and if we're super compassionate to our friends struggling with same-sex attraction. That's not schizophrenic. That's how Jesus operated, and I think Joseph Schomburg operates that way really well in what I've seen in real life versus who he is on Facebook.
That's a great distinction, Father Nix.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page about that. I would like to just say, so Father James Martin, you know, he was ripping on this LifeSite News article, but if you look in the LifeSite News article, it was actually just a link to Joseph Schomburg's Facebook page, and it was a long post. I'm not going to read the whole thing because he's like me. He posts things that are way too long, but I do want to give a few sentences he says and make some comments. He said, should Catholics celebrate gay pride at a parade or at any other venue? Certainly not. Should Catholic priests and prelates speak out against fellow Catholics attending such events? Yes. But there's a far greater evil than any pride parade that goes largely unchecked and mostly unchallenged in the Catholic Church, the ongoing problem of priests and prelates and their lay underlings who openly disseminate their own spin on LGBT propaganda. What makes their actions grossly evil is that they do so in the name of God. From my experience, for the most part, the LGBT community is an irreligious lot. After a usually ineffectual upbringing in a watered-down or overly judgmental form of Christianity, many now choose to be spiritual rather than religious. Their belief in being supposedly born gay is a biological truth for them rather than a matter of faith. However, wicked men within the Catholic Church have been openly propagating, at least since the 1970s with the Jesuit priest John J. McNeil, that God made certain people gay. Therefore, our homosexuality is not only a birthright, but something good that was ordained by God. While an undeniable amount of anger exists in the secular LGBT community against those whom they perceive as attempting to deny their identity, among those men and women who have fallen under the influence of gay apologist priests, I have come across a whole new level of vitriol because they think that their homosexuality is not only a part of their genes, but also an indelible and integral part of their soul. To disagree with them is to disagree with God. Okay, so let me just flesh out what Joseph Schomburg is saying right there. What he's saying is it's bad enough for all of the quote-unquote gay, and he puts gay in quotes a lot because he doesn't think anyone's gay. He thinks that people's identity is son of God or daughter of God. He's absolutely right on that. But I think that what he's saying here is it's bad enough that they think that gay is stamped into their genome, but when they think it's stamped into their soul, like Father James Martin is saying, then that becomes very difficult for a Catholic like him or me to extricate from people, to really make it clear this is not part of their identity. And I understand why he's furious with the people like Father James Martin, because it makes it a real block for quote-unquote homosexuals. It makes it a real block for same-sex attracted people to receive the blood of Jesus if they think there's nothing for that blood of Jesus to cover in their souls because that's part of them. Do you see why this is so dangerous, what people like Father James Martin are saying?
That's right. And if anybody denies or doubts that Father James Martin is actually defying church teaching, you can just read the opinion that he posted called How to Defy. In that, I think it'll explain.
You just cut out for
clearly.
A second. I got you up to how to. Can you say that how to again? You cut out.
Yeah. So he posted an article called, and it's in the New York Times, How to Defy the Catholic Church. He didn't write it, but he posted
really?
It on his Twitter feed.
Oh,
yes.
No way. Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty bold. Yeah, I mean, he was kind of lurking in the shadows of like promoting gay things a year ago, but now he's promoting gay. That's a difference that we've seen in the past 2 weeks on social media.
Yes, I think a year ago he would have really softballed all of this, but to come right out and just say how to defy the Catholic Church, I think is a new level of kind of boldness that he previously didn't show.
And let's remember, too, he is on the Vatican. Correct me if I'm wrong. I should have checked this before we started recording, but I believe he has been promoted to the Vatican Communications Department, either one,
That's
two,
right.
or three, right? So,
yes.
So let's be really clear. I mean, in some sense, he's the little drummer boy for this whole pro-LGBT, anti-divine revelation army in the whole thing. And in that sense, we have to realize that how do I put this in a way that can keep us podcasting? He's not going to get corrected.
That's right.
And I think that's why he's able to keep going on this stuff. And so we have to realize, you know, let's not just make him our scapegoat. I mean, he's significant, and this is why we're podcasting, because he's got 500,000 Facebook followers. So we need to talk about this. But he's got the support of the Vatican, and he's never been shut down, as far as I know. I mean, he's been uninvited from a couple places that were probably afraid of LifeSite News covering them, covering the whole thing. But he's a cog in the machine that is against divine revelation. And so, again, Joseph Schombra is not standing for the conservative Catholic view. He's standing for divine revelation of Jesus Christ and the message of Our Lady of Fatima, that there's people going to hell. This is big stuff. This isn't conservative or even rad trad podcasting. We're talking about eternal salvation of people that the Blessed Trinity made in his image and likeness. That likeness was lost through same-sex attractive actions, and God can redeem that if they realize the need for it. But a block to that need is when Satan uses priests to say there is no need to be redeemed from that. And when someone says that, they're losing souls. And this is the millstone Christ talks about.
Yeah, Joseph Schombra is right. It really is the worst kind of evil against any, you know, anybody committing any sin. To have it affirmed by the church is demonic.
Yeah, this is big stuff. But again, our message in that of Joseph is actually one of hope, that the one thing greater than our ability to sin, those of us who are straight, those of those who are struggling with same-sex attraction, the one thing greater than our ability to sin is our Heavenly Father's ability to forgive us. So ultimately, his view is going to be vindicated. This is, you know, a speed bump in the life of the church, but souls are being lost. That's why we're podcasting about it. We know Christ has the victory. We know the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary is coming. But we're podcasting on this so people aren't deceived, so that on the way to that triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, more people who struggle with same-sex attraction, including those who listen and who we love and who we pray for. I pray for my listeners and people on Facebook and stuff at my masses can be saved. This is salvation. This isn't conservative podcasting. This is for the sake of salvation that we're doing this stuff. And if you do struggle with anything, well, actually, you know what? Even if you don't struggle, pray your daily rosary. One thing I've preached from the pulpit before is, 5 decades a day keeps your hands clean. 15 decades a day keeps your mind clean. And that's for everybody, period. And it's not just for protection. It's also to see Jesus with the eyes of Mary, which is adoration, which is the beginning of contemplation of the divine essence of the beatific vision, which is heaven. So the best thing you can do if you're listening to this podcast is say 5 decades of the rosary day. And if you're saying 5, bump it up to 10. If you're saying 10, bump it up to 15. Again, not that God's counting how many prayers we pray, but the tighter we are wrapped in Mary's mantle via how many decades we pray is really going to be how close we are to Jesus, or at least one great, great highway, actually the great highway to Christ the head. Mary's the neck, Christ is the head, and we are in the mystical body. But there's only one neck to the one head, and that's our Blessed Mother.
Amen.
So we close with the words of St. Maximus the Confessor on the life of the Virgin. So this is actually section 31. Actually, did you have anything else before I jump into that, Andromeda?
No, that was great.
Sure? Okay, cool.
Yeah, angelic warfare confraternity.
Yeah, that's right. Angelic warfare confraternity, because You can't drive down the street or watch a commercial without temptation. So we need a physical reminder on our persons for that. And that's what's so good about the AWC. Okay, so this is section 31 of the Life of the Virgin by St. Maximus the Confessor. And we're just coming up on the birth of Jesus, but I don't think we're there yet. So I'll just read – I was going to read 31 and 32, but again, we've had a good long one. So I think I'll just read you guys 31. Here we go. Then was fulfilled the prophecy of the patriarch Jacob, who said, in the decline of the rulers and leaders of Judah, hope will come to all the Gentiles. That is, Christ the King, who is truly the hope of the Gentiles and also of the Jews who believe in his holy name. For not all who are from Israel are called Israel, but those who have received the preaching of the gospel, as is written above. And so Simeon also informs us, for he named him a light to enlighten the Gentiles and for the glory of the people of Israel who have believed, and he calls him the salvation of all peoples together. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. But why does Jacob say, in the decline of the rulers of Judah, since the Lord himself has come, who is the ruler and leader of all and the true king, and he appeared from the tribe of Judah? It is thus clear that the patriarch's prophecy did not foretell a spiritual reign, but he spoke of mortal kings and worldly rulers. That is also why the Lord says, my kingdom is not of this world, even though in the end, when the kings of Rome were ruling Judea completely, the Savior was nevertheless given reign over the Romans and all of the Gentiles who believed in his holy name. I am not speaking only of the natural reign of his divinity, he who is king and Lord from age unto age, but of the voluntary submission to him by all the believers, as he has called all those who have submitted to his reign by a single new name, Christian. This indeed is the true and honorable name that has been appointed to us by him. So at that time, when all the sovereignty and hegemony of the Jews had been diminished, and dominion over the entire world had been given to the Roman Emperor, as the Holy Gospel says, in those days a decree went forth from Caesar Augustus that the entire world should be enrolled, then the true King and Savior of the entire world was born. And so his providence ordained that the sovereignty of the Jews was greatly diminished, and absolute power of dominion had been given to the Romans. And they subdued the Hebrews with a rod of iron, which is the rule of the Romans. For it is called a rod of iron, by which the Jews were crushed after the passion and resurrection of Christ. And they were devastated by a perpetual captivity. So then the providence of Christ caused the Romans to rule over the Jews, but he himself reigned over the Romans and all the Gentiles and over the Jews who believed, and he reigns over all creatures unto eternity. God bless you. Thank you for joining us on Romecast 15. God bless you.